You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World. Swoop's World live from First Fridays in Long Beach. We're back again, huh, Peter?
Yes, we are.
And, you know, this is, what is it, June already, man?
I know, it's scary. It's really scary. I mean, just the year is definitely flying by.
It is flying by.
And I don't normally say that, because I remember last year, because this is the end of the school year for the kids and all that. I remember somebody asked me, said, didn't that just fly by? I was like, no, it seemed like the longest 9 months of my life. So that was last year this time, and I don't know why, but it does. Last year seemed like the longest. This year seemed like the shortest 9 months of my life.
Yeah, it's
so it was weird. Weird how time changes that way.
It seemed like it was just New Year's Day, man.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, here we go with, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're a little later. As far as the sun setting.
Right.
And so right now, it's a little bit sleepy out there. And, you know, speaking as two guys that helped to run First Fridays for a period of time, this is pretty normal. So if you're listening and you're thinking, hey, should I go out? Right now, it's slow. But from what we know, from our past experience, once the sun sets, that's when the party will really get going here. People, you know, are reluctant to head on out until the sun actually sets here on First Friday.
Yeah, especially on a Friday night.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody after last First Friday, because when we were here,
right,
and we, you know, when I finally closed up shop in here, we left and everything, it seemed kind of, you know, mellow.
Definitely.
I talked to somebody who stayed late and said, no, it was actually really jumping.
Okay.
Especially at the other end of the block.
Okay.
By 9 o'clock at night, so. Plenty to do out there, and if you come on down and check everything out, there's always a lot to do, and, you know, it's so many businesses involved and whatnot, so check it out. We're at the Mirage Mediterranean Grill with Michelle Mangione, and tonight she's going to have also Sammy Tonic of Bus Stop Hurricanes. Now, I'm not familiar with them, but Michelle usually picks good guests to share the stage
with Michelle, then yeah. We can pretty much count on them at least meeting a certain standard.
Exactly.
Certain, you know.
Exactly.
They're going to be good.
So come on down, man. We are going to be here. We're going to be on the air for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And but the show will go on here at the Mirage till I believe 10 o'clock. And there's plenty of things going on up and down the avenue. And some late night action after that. So you can come on down between now and 2 o'clock pretty much and find things to do. Plenty of activities, plenty of art, because that's what this whole thing was based on in the beginning. And hopefully it still lives up to that, and I'm sure it does. So there's plenty of art going on. You got the expo. You got a lot of different businesses involved with the art and music and stuff like that. So head on down to First Fridays of Long Beach and check everything out, man. We've had quite a week, huh?
Yes. As usual. Busy, yeah. Busy.
Busy, busy. Wednesday night we had Mark Platt. An outstanding musician.
Of the Platitudes.
Of the Platitudes.
I mean, that's so funny. You know? Great name.
Outstanding musician. Writes songwriter, singer-songwriter. Writes a lot of his own music. Also does things for TV and film. And
was hanging out with Elvis Costello back in the day.
Great stories there, too. Yeah. And if you missed it, you can find the archive right there at SoupsWorld.com.
And The Real Impossibles.
The Real Impossibles back from the 80s. A little MTV action back in the day. And then yesterday we had Greg Jenkins from Bravo Productions. And, you know, I mean, from a couple of guys who actually put on events, but, you know, we're not like...
Small events. Well, nothing like this guy's doing.
We're not like event organizers or anything like this. This guy was totally cool. The things they do are amazing. And like I was telling people before, if you just want to throw something for whatever reason, but especially if you have a corporate event thing, he's the guy to contact.
I mean, he does a specific thing, right. And sounds like he does it really well. And I really liked him as far as having been in kind of a business that kind of bumps into his business.
Yeah.
As I said, I think after the show, he's a guy I would have wanted to work with. Right. Somebody who's highly professional. He came across as highly organized.
Totally focused, man.
Totally focused. Yeah. And those are the types of people when you're in that business, because it is by nature a very chaotic business. You know, there's just weird stuff that happens. Sometimes there's weird demands, and you have to be able to roll with that, and you have to be really organized to make that stuff work.
Right.
And he seemed like that kind of personality.
Yeah.
So I would hire him, in a second, if that was the direction, if that was the thing I needed. And
right.
He did specialize, but if that was the thing I needed, he was the guy. It was interesting talking to him.
Yeah, and he's worked in a lot of major corporations and major entertainment individuals and
U.S. Army.
U.S. Army.
So he's done it all.
He's done it all. Yeah.
That is random. I can say in all my catering years, I never did anything like in that direction. That's out there. That's a different sort of level of that sort of event planning.
Absolutely. And you know what? We didn't even really get into some of the stuff he's done. I mean, some of the write-ups he's been written up in, been showcased and quoted in such publications as the Wall Street Journal, Men's Health, Lighting and Sound, Southern California Meetings and Events, LA Times, Event Design, Stage Decorations, About.com, Amex, Open Forum, Fox News, KCBS. The list goes on and on. USA Today, Press Telegram, Rob Report. I mean, obviously he's doing something right.
Definitely.
Because there's one thing I know. People don't tell you where they're written up unless it's a positive thing.
Right.
So, obviously he's doing something right out there.
Well, the thing I like best about, I think, in the whole thing was he was saying, you know, when we asked him, what does the future hold? You know, a lot of people just start spouting off, well, we're going to get bigger and better and do more parties, do more events, blah, blah. It's like, you know, we like what we're doing now, and we'd like to get a few more of those clients that we really like to work with.
Yeah.
That's the way, if you're a business person, that's the way you know, that's a good sign. That's a good sign that they got what they need. And now they'd like to just expand on kind of the perfect, this is how we do things,
right,
sort of thing. And that's what you want. Again, you want something that's highly competent.
And another thing about him that was really cool is they haven't just gone out and just, I mean, he's got, you know, little hubs here and there. But the total company comprised of 5 people.
Yeah.
And 5 people that he says, and you know, I just like his honesty. You know, like 5 people that don't always get along, but they're a happy family, highly specialized, and they could take their thing, their events, they could plan an event anywhere.
Yeah.
Because
they
know what to do and how to do it.
Lean and
mean.
Stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way you want. You don't pay for a bunch of fluff.
No.
Right? You want 5 people, 10 people, whatever it is it takes to do it, you want the 5 best people you got.
Yeah, and he's been in business since, 1997, I believe? 1987.
Shortchange him a decade. Yeah.
But you and I have both have seen these companies that have opened up, been around a year, and then open up another one, and then open, you know, expanding rapidly, and the quality sucks.
Yep.
It just deteriorates.
They do one thing right once and think, okay, now we can reproduce this a million times.
Yeah.
And
so I was really impressed with Greg Jenkins, and all the props to him, and all the props to Mark Platt. Just a couple of good guys. Just some really good, cool guests this week. And, you know, we've been really lucky here at Swiss World to just to find some really decent people that are really have come on and like I always say, headed down to our humble studio and give, I mean, just come on, how many people have performed there?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just outstanding musicians, and Mark was one of them. They performed with like four or five songs that were just amazing.
Dude, just hearing them tune up was, you know,
yeah.
pretty cool.
Exactly.
Because, you know, these
especially from a couple of plunkers like us.
Yeah. yeah.
So that was very, very, very cool. You know, like we said, we're going to be here for the next hour and a half going down to some First Fridays Long Beach if you get a chance. And if not, just continue to listen. If you're listening to us on the computer and you say, I need to head on out, I don't have time to sit here. If you have a smartphone, you can still listen to us, man. There's multiple places you can listen. Android or BlackBerry, you can listen to us on Nobex Radio Companion. Nobex Radio Companion. You can get that at the respective stores. Any smartphone, you listen to us on yourmuse.fm. And for both of those, you got to look us up under Talk Story Radio Network. And if you're on the iPhone, actually, we're not streaming on the iPhone tonight. We'll be streaming back on the iPhone next Wednesday. But if you're on the iPhone, you can always listen to us on Wednesdays on the TalkStream Live app. But anyway, one of the members of Michelle's band, Michelle Maggiani, who throws on this event each First Fridays here in the Mirage Mediterranean Grill, is Steve Sose. And Steve Sose has a great story. He's been playing the guitar and working on guitars and fixing guitars for a lot of years. And he's an expert and a rep for a lot of different companies. And a lot of huge, huge name artists only let him touch their guitars. But
not just guitars, right? Because remember he was saying, didn't he say he did a whole thing on anything stringed?
Right? Yeah.
I mean, not just guitars. I mean, like a whole range of stringed
instruments.
Yeah.
He may have. I do know.
I thought so.
I do know that he is. But
guitars is his thing.
Guitars are his thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he owns a business called Sose Guitars. But he was also in some bands himself, surf music bands. And we're going to let you listen to a little Steve Sose right now. And this one is called Twitchin'. Listen to Swoops World on Talk Story Radio.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
Do you have these in a 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day?
How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office...
Any questions?
No.
We clam up. Ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
When do I get my results?
Questions lead to better healthcare. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, this is Sharp Mo on the wall, and you're listening to Soup's World.
And yeah, welcome back to Swoops World live from First Fridays. And a shout out to Kiki in the chat room. Cool. What you heard there was Steve Sos, and that was called Twitching. And we'll be playing some more music from Steve as well as Michelle Mangione throughout the broadcast here. You had to go to a nice little event today.
Yes, I did.
Didn't you? How'd that go, man?
Went okay. It was a weird event. I went to my my son here in California, because I don't know how it works everywhere else. Fifth grade, you finish elementary school and you go to middle school.
Right.
And when Swoop and I were kids, it was sixth grade, and then you went to junior high. So I don't know if that's still how it is around. But the point is that it was interesting. I got asked as I often am to help out, and I was happy to do it. And it was low-key as far as setting up and all that for this dance, the fifth grade dance. It was crazy. You know, one of the weirdest moments was we set up, and then we're sitting around waiting, right? And fortunately, we were able to get everything done way ahead of time, so we had lots of free time. We're sitting around. Finally, the kids show up. And when the kids show up, there was some guy who apparently back in the day did some DJing and stuff, so he volunteered his time, a father volunteered his time to do his bit of it. What was weird was when they finally showed up, the kids finally showed up, school ended, and they got all changed and all that. It was just weird how adult all of a sudden these kids look. Not all of them. Some of the kids are still kids, right? But some of the kids all of a sudden just not kids, you know. And there's this one girl I think of who, like, every time I see her, she's just this little girl, she's really cute, you know. She's always got this big giant backpack that looks like it's bigger than she could possibly be carrying, right? And she's one of the top kids in class, and I know because I volunteered in the class, and really super super nice. She shows up and she's in this dress, and it was a modest dress, so I don't want to like portray like this is like her getting all like skanked out or something. Yeah. It wasn't like that. Totally modest, but all of a sudden she's dressed up. She hasn't got her book. Her hair's out, because every time I've seen her hair's always done up, and I didn't realize she had that much hair. And she's just gorgeous. She's a really pretty girl, and all of a sudden she didn't look 10.
There you go.
Wow, how did that happen? Here's a girl that's been in my kids' class for 5 years,
right?
And I've been volunteering in the class, helping out all the time, and all of a sudden, she just doesn't look like a little girl anymore. She looks like grown up, and there was a couple of those types of incidents. Of course, I see my son all the time in all these varieties, so for him it wasn't a big deal, but I saw some of the other boys, just guys that I'm like, oh, he's a good kid. All of a sudden I'm like, he's not a kid anymore. It was a weird, weird sensation. That combined with earlier in the week going on the field trip to the middle school that they're going to.
Right.
Really just brought home, like, I have a 10-year-old. 10 is a kid. They're kids. But wow, they're kids on the cusp of being adults. some of those kids are ahead of that curve,
right?
And some of those kids are behind that curve. They were also little, like, there's this one little girl that we just love. She's down the road from us. My son and her have been in every class. And I swear to God, my 5-year-old daughter is almost as tall as this fifth grader. So you look at her and you're like, yeah, she's just the cutest, nicest little kid, right? And then on the flip side, you have this other girl that, like, is clearly, about to be a woman, sort of thing, you know, like, and then the boys that are the same size. So it's a weird, really, you know, as a parent, I'm not somebody that gave much of this much thought, so it's not like I, you know, not like I necessarily, I signed up, obviously, but I was a bit reluctant about it. So it's a weird place to be to be seeing this, and kids that I've not necessarily seen every day, but seen often, as little kids, are all of a sudden now becoming little adults.
Yeah, it's freaking weird. You don't even know. Wait until you're in high school.
Yeah, you've been through this a few times. Yeah, exactly. So for me, it was all a little bit like, whoa.
I had a little whoa moments today too. My son, you know, he's graduating from junior high school this year. So I had a little similar thing where the eighth grade class. He's got a small eighth grade class. It's like 15 kids. It's small.
Private school.
But anyway, so they had to come up and kind of talk about, you know, how long they've been at the school, what their most memorable moment is, and where they're going to go into high school. So they introduced all the, you know, kids one at a time. And when they introduced my kid, the school erupted, man. I like... He's a likable kid, don't get me wrong. But I just didn't realize that he was that popular on campus. And it was kind of cool, you know? And it was like one other person that had a, you know, higher than noise level, a decibel level of cheers. This little cute little girl that he's known for a couple of years. And then there's one person that was kind of almost with him. This is another little girl that goes there. But he was just like... And you know him. I mean, he's like, oh, kind of...
Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think of him.
But, you know, he sucked it all in. You know,
yeah, well, that's a whole other matter.
You know, you talk about this thing about little kids and that kind of a twist on maybe adulthood or whatever. And like you said, they weren't skank or anything. But I've on this show called My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding. It's a BBC show. Okay? Yeah. Now, they call them travelers
in
Britain or whatever.
But I think that's the PC term.
But they're gypsies. And they call themselves gypsies. Right. And they call themselves travelers. It's interchangeable.
Okay.
It is amazing. Because what they do is there's two things they focus on. They focus on the kids, the little girl's first communion and girls' weddings, right? So their first communions are like 6 years old.
Okay.
And they get these enormous dresses. Most of the dresses weigh more than the kids. And then they do the wedding. Most of these kids are getting married like at 15, 16 years old, right?
Oh my God.
But the point of my story is at these, whether it's the wedding or whether it's the communion. I watched one the other day, and it was like the first... You see these dresses, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I watched the first communion thing, and so you got to figure, a six-year-old kid, her friends and people that are, like, hanging with her, are between 6 and 8 years old.
Yeah.
So, they show them dancing and stuff. First of all, they dress like Hoochie Mamas.
Oh, wow.
And they're not after she gets out of her dress, but they're all her friends.
Yeah.
And they're literally shaking their asses like strippers.
Oh, jeez.
And it's like, you're like sitting there watching and go, that girl's like 8 years old.
Oh, aren't your that's parents? Wrong.
Yeah, it's just so wrong. It is so, so wrong. And the show is, it's amazing, though, because they do some crazy ass stuff. Because what's important are like, see, this is fashionable stuff they call it.
Yeah.
And she makes the dresses. And look at this thing; it's just amazing. But I should put this in the
chat room.
Actually, I was told that I never put out where the chat room is for people who are listening on other devices that might want to go to the chat room. You can find our chat room on swoopsworld.com on the Listen Live tab, and that's where our chat room is located. But anyway, as I was saying. The things that are like important, it's like you get to figure that the grooms at a lot of these weddings are like 17, 18 years old. And the big thing is everything has to be big. Big.
Right.
So like one guy shows up for his wedding in a tricked out the cab that pulls an 18-wheeler?
Yeah.
that's what he shows up in. It's like a drink. It's like a limo made out of the cab of an 18-wheeler. Look, okay, you see that dance, you just saw that? 6-8-year-olds doing this dance. And it's on like I think it's on the HG. I don't know what channel it's on. Bravo or one of those cable channels. But it's amazing. It's a train wreck. Because there's nothing to watch one day. I flip the channels and I go, that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, I really like, right? I said, My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding, what's this? And I realized it's a series. So I watched the first one, and I was, like, totally intrigued, right? So I've watched three now. And I just, every time I see it, I'm appalled and intrigued.
Yeah.
Disgusted, yet cannot change the channel every time.
Well, you know, and it sounds like, I haven't seen it, but it sounds like, you know, I mean, it goes back to a point where, I mean, there's a reason there's Sweet 16s and Bar Mitzvahs,
right,
and all that, because that is, or was, not so much now, certainly not in this country, that was the age of consent.
That was the age
of when you could be married off, is when you could bear children.
Right.
I mean, realistically, from a biological point of view, you're an adult.
Right.
At that point. Right? I mean,
and
when
you
whether
people,
you are...
And we need to start planning on who's going to be working the fields in the next
year.
You have to,
right? And it's traditions that grew out of those very basic human realities. And in some cultures, especially here in America, that's pretty much gone by. I mean, we have a Sweet 16, but it's not what it once was.
Because
you're not a man or a woman at that point, right? I mean, nobody says
Bar Mitzvah.
It doesn't happen that way. Right. But there are still certain cultures, and that's what this sounds like. That's my long story short here. That's where it sounds like this is kind of, in those cultures, it is still a very legitimate...
You know, it is, and you know, the thing is, the groom is always out when he's going to get married. He goes out and buys a trailer because they travel. You know?
Right.
But, you know, here's the sad thing. They were talking to one of the brides, right? Or brides-to-be. And she's going to get married in a few days. And she says, you're excited? She goes, yeah, I'm getting a little nervous now, but I'm looking forward to it and stuff. And they said, she goes, you know, as a traveler girl, gypsy traveler, it's her term here. She goes, you know, what I'm looking for is because it's my job to stay home and clean, my job to take care of, if we only have kids, my job to take care of the household. She goes, it's the man's job to go out there and earn a living. And she says, what I look for in a man, is, she says, and I think every traveler girl looks for in a man, is somebody who's going to go out there and earn a living who doesn't beat her.
See,
that was the, I mean, you know, I understand cultures have certain roles and stuff. And so up until that point, I was like, you know, I understand.
Right.
But then when she said, who doesn't beat her, I was like, that is...
That's a big hope.
That's a big hope. That's a horrible way to live, man.
See, here's the thing. I think about, I got married when I was 25, which for a lot of people, that's early.
Not
for you.
But you're still married.
But I am still married. And when I, here's the thing is, when I think about the person, the woman I was with, she's a woman, again, in that very technical sense. She was a woman, and technically speaking, I was a man.
She had a lot of learning.
There are a lot of learning. Yeah. And when I think about who that woman was, holy shit. By the time I realized, so here's a woman that I went to like two or three dances to, and I went and we hung out, and we learned a lot of shit. You know, just like about life and about other stuff, right? You know, just and at some point, the reason we ended up breaking up was because I just realized, wow, this is not someone that I'd want to hang out a long time with.
Right.
But the thing was, is I really liked her a lot. In fact, this is a girl that I knew when I was in about, actually, we'd gone to like first through sixth grade together. And then she'd gone to different middle school. So I didn't see her for 3 or 4 years. Junior high back then, right? I didn't see her for 3 or 4 years. And then I see her again when we come back to the same high school. You know, I liked her, sure.
Right.
We were kids. We hung out together. We did things together. You know, as kids. And then I was like, wow, I really like her. And then over the next year and a half or so that we dated, I realized, well, this is not somebody I would ever want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Like, never want to hang out with, but certainly not want to be intimate with, not want to be living the rest of my life with. But again, if we'd gone back to this different lifestyle. We were betrothed in that sense, right?
Right.
wow, how messed up would have both of us been, right? Because we would neither of us been probably happy people. Because it took, you know, a lot of things change when you're that age. It's just like to expect people at 16, 17, 18, even up to age 20 to really know like what they want in life and who they are going to be a good match with. I mean, we did. I'm not gonna lie, we had great sex. But then as I started to get to know her, she was raised Catholic. My parents were atheists. Okay, well that's gonna be a problem. Right? And then more importantly, it's like what we both expected out of life were totally, totally different. You know, I was like a college bound person, she was not.
Right.
It wasn't a better than or less than. It was just we had different ideas of what life should be.
Exactly.
And it's like, you're that young. Shit, man. To be honest with you, I didn't really kind of figure that sort of stuff out or think I had figured out until I was about 25.
Right.
And even then, things have changed.
Still changed, exactly.
Yeah. But at least at 25, you have a much better... Can you imagine getting married 10 years earlier than that? Or 9 years earlier than that? Basically, a whole decade.
Yeah.
It's just...
I know the person I was at 17, 18, 16, 19. I think I got married the first time, like 22. I know the person I was up until then. There's absolutely no way.
Yeah.
Absolutely no way. You know?
Especially.
Because my priorities.
You don't even know yourself at
right,
that point.
Right. And my priorities.
Certainly don't know the other person.
Priorities were definitely not taking care of somebody and supporting anybody. You know?
No.
It just wasn't. It just wasn't. Yeah,
to be betrothed and married at age 16, 17.
What do you think? What do you think the situation is if that's the way you're raised and that's what you're expected to do? Do you think you have a different mindset along the way?
Oh, you definitely do. You definitely do. But at the same time, you end up with the expectation of, I hope it's someone who doesn't beat me.
Yeah. Well, how?
That's how you get to that point, I think.
Is that the shittiest thing? I mean, seriously. I mean, all the things you could hope for in a marriage. You know, I can possibly accept that from somebody who's been in a relationship who was beaten.
Right.
Right. So then your goals in life is I've escaped that whacked out relationship. My goal now is to find somebody who loves me, who will treat me right, who won't beat me. But when you've grown up and been raised and never been had that horrible thing happen to you, and your goal in life, you know, like my goal in life is to graduate high school, go to college. And your goal in life is get married and not get beaten.
Yeah.
That is horrible.
And that's the problem with that sort of thing. I mean, they talk about this a lot from a statistical point of view, is that a lot of countries, especially in Europe, they have a declining birth rate, right? I mean,
right.
They're actually shrinking. And it's because expectations for women, largely, I mean, not completely, but
right,
largely, is that they're not going to get married at 20 and they're not going to have kids by the 25, because their expectations for the women is that they're going to finish college, get a career, and then that, as a result, leads to them not necessarily getting married later, although that has happened, but having kids later.
Right.
And so you would basically, and then by the same token, costs and all that have gone up, smaller birth rates. If you take out here in America, most of the immigrant population, we also have a negative birth rate.
Birth rate, yeah.
Yeah, because the people that are here, established, in all races, not just like white or black.
Well, it's cultural.
It's cultural.
Yeah.
It is. Here we are. And our idea is, okay, you've made it, and I know I'm totally fit this pattern. My whole family does, where, okay, we came here, we made a bunch of sacrifices, you know, you're going to be the first kid that goes to college.
Right.
You're going to be blah, blah, blah. And as a result, you're going to get married later. And by the same token, you come out, you got a bunch of expenses, law loans, loans for school, whatever
right,
it is. So you're going to say, okay, well, I got these other commitments, I can't have kids right now.
So you, and I can only have a certain number of kids.
I can only have two.
Yeah.
I mean, now and for my wife and I, that's definitely two. Right? For a whole bunch of reasons. But one of them is you simply just have enough freaking money to do that. And on the, whereas the immigrants are, they're new. They're like, wow, we're here. We're living well, relatively.
Compared to
where we came from.
A lot of places where they're coming
from. And
right.
So now that we're living well, we need to have as many kids because that's where they came from.
Right.
And that's, so, I kind of lost my train of thought. The point I'm making, though, is that it's a cultural issue.
Right.
If you grew up there, this woman probably said that because her mother got beaten or her aunts got beaten, or
you know, the worst thing
whatever
about it
is.
The worst thing about it
that's
is,
horrible.
The absolute worst thing about it is, though, this is a 16-year-old girl, okay, who's going to be married in a week. And that's her thing.
That's her reality.
Exactly. You said it perfectly. That's her reality. I found a man who is going to go out and work, not lay around the house, and most likely won't be.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That is tough. That's a scary thought.
Yeah.
You know, and when both of us have daughters.
Yeah.
When you look at that and you go, wow. Thank God, hopefully.
Yeah.
Right? That
well,
our
he
daughters.
Won't, he, one, you get one, maybe one opportunity because after that,
jeez, yeah.
Never to be seen again. I'm just saying.
And I'm right there with you. And that's another thing, too, because that makes me wonder about this because, you know, you've met my father.
Yeah.
And, you know, my sister's a bit of a, she's had some moments. She's kind of deviated from the path, you know, and I'm just saying that she didn't make some good decisions. But one thing that was always there was that if that had been her, I just want to marry, we'd have been like, whoa, no. There's a certain level
right.
we would have expected.
Exactly.
You know, and, I mean, if my sister had come to us and said, this guy's, Let's just say that there'd be some forensics, perhaps, that might be done out in the desert that might, long way around, somehow try to prove that we had maybe done some things that maybe we weren't
good luck with
to do.
That, right?
Yeah, good luck with that. So, which also makes you wonder, here's a woman, a young woman,
right.
You know, like, where's the men talking?
Right?
I mean,
that's another thing on this show.
And it's a show, so you got to wonder,
yeah,
okay, maybe
exactly.
they...
But they very rarely show the father's. Like they show her father the day of the wedding. And he just goes, doesn't she look beautiful? And that was it. They talked to the mom a bunch of times. And, you know, things like that. Which is cool. But you did that. So I don't know if it's
it makes
you
wonder.
I don't know if it's editing. I don't know what the situation
you gotta
is.
You've got to ask that question.
You have to ask that question.
If you live in a culture that's, I don't want to say primitive, but it's you're living... It goes back to the other part of the conversation we're talking about. Okay, we've changed our lifestyle, we've changed our mentality of what women should do, what everyone should do. We should all get education, blah, blah. Okay, so if you're living in a more basic lifestyle, I don't want to say primitive because that's a negative
right,
thing,
right,
but
right.
like basic. Like
right.
down, okay, you're now fertile, you're now an adult, you can now have children, and so you shall. Okay, part of that, usually, that part of that. That conversation, part of that lifestyle is there's a man, a father figure,
right.
that is going to say, you're going to treat my daughter
absolutely
right, or suffer the consequences. And if so, she's afraid of this, there needs to be somebody else going, sucker, you're marrying my daughter,
right.
you should be afraid of this.
Exactly.
That's makes you wonder what's going on there. Because that's...
I mean, the thing is, I've heard stories, you know, people talking about things that have been done, you know. I've heard a story once where an individual said that somebody he knew, a daughter was dating somebody, and the guy could be.
Yeah.
Right. She came back and lived at home. And he said, okay, you know, you stay away from my this kind of stuff. And the guy had some kind of government job, so he really didn't want to put himself out there too much. But he told the guy to stay away from my daughter. The daughter went back with him, you know, and then he beat her again. So then he says that the story he heard was he knew where the guy hung out, where he had drank, and he said the guy that he knew went up, sat out next to the bar, and says, come on, we're going for a ride. And allegedly, they drove out to the desert, gave him a shovel, said, start digging. And, the hours that go between that, no, don't kill me, And once the guy had the hole dug, this could be an old urban legend, whatever. He said, you ever hit my daughter again, that's where we're going to end up. And he got his shovel, he got in his car, and he drove back. He drove, left the guy out in the desert.
Yeah. Somewhere.
The guy apparently was never seen again. Now, the story from the guy I heard it from, or the guy he heard it from, I don't know how many parties removed was, he didn't kill the guy. But he said, I'll never see you again, I'll never see you, my daughter again. But nobody ever saw the guy.
I had a...
Somebody did, he just pack up and move?
I had a conversation with one of my sister's less than desirable boyfriends. I made it clear that should he happen to show up again, certain things could possibly happen. He took it upon himself to... move along.
Yeah, move along. That's all we're asking. Just move along.
I don't know what happened.
Nothing to see
but
here.
We didn't see him again.
Move it along.
Move it along. Just saying, if you're going to live in that very raw, stripped down sort of culture.
Yeah.
Because when it gets down to it, we're all... We build these rules. We have these concepts and values and virtues and all this stuff, all people are created equal, blah, blah, blah. And most of the time that works fine.
Right.
Most of the time it does. And that's why civilization happens most of the time in a very positive way.
Right.
But there definitely are times when the system breaks down or there's certain people that don't want to play by the rules.
Right.
And they need to be explained to.
Look, you and me, we've talked about this before. There's certain places that's really going to happen. Man.
Yeah.
You're not going to harm any of my kids. And let the chip fall where they may.
Yeah. and this strikes me as one of those, the word that keeps popping into my mind is primitive. And that has sort of a negative connotation. But these are people that are living...
Well, they live a lifestyle that kind of lends itself to... Don't get me wrong. There's no reason anybody should lay a hand on anybody else.
No.
But they're living a lifestyle that kind of lends itself to outside the norm.
Yeah. And that's, again, goes back to what the primitive idea of it.
Yeah.
Is it like, this is how we live, even not even that long. And in some countries, it's still happening. But we're talking about the West, Europe, America.
Right.
Okay. But we're talking where, okay, all of this stuff was entirely acceptable, especially in a place where you'd be dead by 40.
Right.
Or 45. That old age was 45, so you needed to procreate. You needed it. And so there were certain things that were accepted. We've moved beyond that. But if you're going to still live by those kind of set of rules or set of values,
right,
the balancing part of that is somebody's there to protect you.
Here's the weird thing about that, because there are a lot of groups that live outside the norm.
Sure.
Okay, like the Amish, okay? I don't think I've ever heard an Amish girl say, I want to find a guy who doesn't beat me, right? Same with, communes and the hippie thing, right? It's not cool, dude.
It's just not cool, dude. Yeah.
Right? So it was really odd to hear somebody else who's living, quote, outside the norm.
And this is not like a country that's way out in the middle of what we think of.
These people were right in the middle. They were right. Now,
one of the wealthiest, well-to-do, well-organized countries in the world. I mean, the English, the UK. I mean, this is one of, like, they beat us as far as we've superseded them in other ways, but they beat us as far as like rank of living, like how well they live,
right,
and resources to that because, and it just shouldn't be. I mean, this sort of thing used to happen in like 17th century, 16th century, it shouldn't be happening
today
in 21st century England or US or most of Europe for that matter,
any developed country. I mean, like you said, there's when you're talking about places that we don't know about or we really don't as a society we kind of look the other way, you know, because you know there are people that are living in poverty and various places and stuff, and in tribal nations and stuff like that. We kind of look the other way. I mean, you can say what you want. We can try to bullshit each other, but not us, I mean, but, you know, in the world. But as a society, we look the other way. You know, if we weren't looking to, we have to be looking the other way. Otherwise, you don't have the genocide you have going on in Darfur.
Congo.
In the Congo and stuff like that. So, you know, we as a society look the other way. The people speak up and complain and stuff like that, but overall, the world turns a blind eye. If you talk about places like that and you're hearing things like this, you kind of go, well, yeah, I see. Look how they're living. You know, what do you expect type of thing?
Yeah.
But, when you talk about the people that are residing in developed nations.
Yeah. I mean, if you live in the UK, just as you live here in the US, you are guaranteed education up to the age of 18. Or 17, I think it is there, because they have a different system. But still, so these women, girls...
That's the thing, though. The gypsies, they drop out of school.
They drop out of school at early ages.
At very early ages.
But they're not required to.
They're not required. That's a choice.
It goes back to, these are a kind of a subset of a larger population that have decided not to take advantage of what is available to them, right? Because these girls could get their high school diploma or whatever the equivalent is there, and then in theory could go and work, right? I mean, yeah, with a high school diploma, what are you going to do? Okay, well, you're not going to get
But there's a lot of opportunities for somebody.
But there's a lot more opportunities than just popping out babies,
right?
Right? I mean, because that's kind of the mindset that's going on here, and that is really. It's really disconcerting, you know. And as someone who has two kids, you're like, "Wow, thank God that's not going on." Not that we're perfect here, but still, you know, my daughter and my son have certain opportunities, and it's a scary, scary thought that here's a woman that her big hope is that she's going to have kids, and hopefully her husband doesn't.
Exactly.
I mean, that's Stone Age sort of shit there, almost.
You get that right. Well, you know, some of the Swoops World. We're here at First Friday's Long Beach down at the Mirage Mediterranean Grill and with Michelle Mangione and friends. And what we're going to do now is going to let you listen to Michelle Mangione tune. This is called Man with a Gun. We'll be back right after this.
I met a man with a gun, following me from behind. When he put that gun into my back, had me frozen where I stood. And now his trouble is mine. Passed by a woman of age, noticed a vacancy sign. They said no one ever came to call, so she checked out for good. I hear the children are fine, and the children in the city don't play in the yards. Watching from the windows, they'll be safe behind the bars of freedom. It has to humble a man to lose his house and his home. When a poor boy is tired of being poor, he knows there's got to be something more. And so he picks up the phone, and they ask so many questions. Are you black or white? sleeping with another man and giving up your right to freedom. And the leaders of my country, well, they tell me they're my friends. If I listen carefully, I'll grow up to be them. So hooray for all the soldiers sticking to their guns. If destiny was up to me, I think I'd make a run for freedom. Teach me the language of love, unspoken and understood. After all this talk of making peace, well, I think I've heard enough. I'd close my eyes if I could. Well, hooray for conversation, trying to make some sense. Are we feeling strong enough to disarm the defense? And hooray for all the nations bleeding us to war. Oh, nay, in the name of love or something that I'm not sure of. Hooray for my religion, I don't know what for. Someone said if I believe, they'd open up the door to 1,000 hungry people that I may never meet. Let them reach the promised land and gobble up the streets of freedom.
Every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You've seen me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. There's enough food in this country to feed everyone. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is Raspin Stewart. You're listening to Swoop's World.
We started out so innocently. We learned to take what we need. Forgive us for our greed. Let's dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Welcome back to to Swoops World at live at First Fridays, right here at the Mirage Mediterranean Grill. And what you heard there was Michelle Mangione, Man with a Gun, and good old Raspin Stewart there telling us he listens to Swoops World, because Ras is a good man, so check him out. He's another one of our past guests and a wonderful musician. You know, get on down to First Fridays if you're in the area. You know, we're going to be going off the air here in about a half an hour or so, but hopefully we'll get an interview with one of the performers that are going to be here tonight. We'll take a look over there in a minute, see who's available, and see if we can pull them in. But, you know, you can always find us on Facebook, and if you do, like us, and follow us on Twitter. If you want to send us an email, it's swoopsworld@gmail.com. All shows are archived and downloadable for free at iTunes. And if you do that and you like this, man, leave a comment on iTunes. Leave a little comment there, or leave a comment on the website. And, you know, we also archived on Blog Talk. You can find Swoops World a lot of different places.
That's right. You don't have to work that hard.
You don't have to work that hard. Is exactly right.
Google and Swoops, you know, Radio, the magic number. Right? What's the magic number? Free.
Free. Exactly. All fun in the sun, baby. Anything plans this weekend, man?
I don't know. My kid, my son's got something that I've got to take him to do tomorrow. The scout thing.
Same here, man. I got two things to wear.
I'm hoping to, like, kind of drop and go sort of deal. That's my plan. Unfortunately. Yeah, unfortunately. Never seems to quite work that way.
No, because you're responsible.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, and you know, that's the problem. That's the problem is, I'm responsible. A whole bunch of other people know I'm responsible. And so they go, well, Peter will be here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and there's a handful of us. Peter, Gordon, they'll be there. Yeah. And, you know, other people take advantage of that. And the flip side of it is, you know, you do the right thing, and especially when it's your kids. But I'm just always amazed at how many people aren't. How many people aren't doing the right thing? How many people?
We've experienced that firsthand with the,
kids. I was the PTA president at my kid's school for a period, and you realize how many people aren't doing it.
Well, you know, that goes back to what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about education.
Yeah.
And you know, we do put a lot of weight and a lot of pressure on the teachers to do their part, but a lot of parents aren't doing their part.
Yes.
And that's you know, it's a team effort.
Yes.
And when parents aren't doing their part, I don't care how hard the teacher works. The teacher can work their ass off.
Yeah.
And if you're not being a parent, make sure your kid turns their homework in and
does the homework, behaves in class.
Has food in their stomach and all those kinds of things.
We talked about that very recently. And I talked about how my kid, both of my kids, are in the top 2, 3, 4, 5 in each class. And I know, at least, you know, by sight and to say hi sort of thing, I know the other 4 or 5 kids that are top kids.
Right.
And it's because those parents, and that's the difference. I honestly believe that's the difference. And my kid, both of my kids, have spectacular teachers. And we've been in the system long enough to know, like, that's a bad teacher, that's a good teacher. Both of them have very good teachers. They're learning what they're supposed to be. They're being taught, I should say, what they're supposed to be taught. The difference between the kids that are in the top and the kids that aren't, and some of these parents are you know, we have the luxury of I'm a stay home parent mostly. I mean, I do work, but mostly I'm a stay home parent. Some of these other kids, their parents are both working. The difference is that someone, whether it's one of those parents or a grandparent, are involved, highly involved. They're making sure that their kids are getting their stuff turned in. They're doing the extra.
You're absolutely right. And the thing is, you know, I grew up with both my parents work, right? But every time there was something that went on at the school, that the parents needed to be there, my parents were there.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand some jobs don't allow you to do that.
Right.
Regardless of all that, regardless of what time my parents got home, they said, is your homework done?
Yeah.
What is it? Let me see it. So, you still have to be a parent.
And I mean, when the report card came home and you dropped somewhere,
yeah,
you hadn't done what you're supposed to do,
there were consequences.
There were consequences. And that's the thing is, the families took you know, took that serious. And here's the thing is I go and I volunteer in the class and I meet kids that are very, very bright kids. Maybe brighter kids than my kid, you know, like just raw intelligence.
Right.
And they're failing or hovering at average. And it's like, why is this happening? Here's a kid that has great, great, great potential. But somebody is not paying attention. You know, and it's a sad... So it here's the thing is, it's really easy to blame the teachers or blame the school
system. It's so easy to do that. That's the lame way out. Exactly.
Totally.
The easy way out.
Exactly. You know, and like I said, and for me the proof is that of the top five, six kids in the class, all of those parents or whoever are deeply involved with the kids' lives. They understand what's going on. They're making the difference. And honestly, that's the difference between the... It's not necessarily an intelligence thing. I hate to say that.
Right.
Because you'd like to say, well, the smartest kid's going to get the best grade. But no, that's not always true. The kid that's the most well-prepared, and that's life, right?
Right.
The kid or person that's most well-prepared, worked the hardest, had a certain amount of intelligence, and made the most of that opportunity.
What I've said about coaches, you know, business people, even... presidents or prime ministers, whatever. You don't have to be the smartest.
No.
You need to have the ability to make sound decisions and surround yourself with people who are capable.
Yeah.
Right? Because you may not have all the answers. Well, no one has all the answers. But if you're willing to listen to somebody and you can make a sound decision, you can say, wow, I didn't think of that, but that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it goes. And you know, there's so many things out there. I mean, we had Christy Wilkins on the show a couple weeks ago from Dramatic Results. You know, a program out there that's out there trying to fill that gap. Trying to fill that gap between a kid's ability to learn the standard way and, you know, as well as teachers and parents. And so there's things out there for people, and they have to learn about it, and they have to be exposed to it, and... You know, certain things like that. And while we're on the subject of education, I got to give a shout out to my daughter because she made the president's list at Cal State again, and yeah, I'm very proud of that. And no, you know, I can't take credit for that. If she was still in elementary school, I'd say she has my brains, but the president's list at the university, and she's all over. President didn't even know my name.
But hey, she did the extra work, and that's a mindset. I mean, you don't get there by just being smart.
No.
You get there by doing the extra work, by going the extra effort.
Yeah, you got to be dedicated.
She got there, you helped her get there. I'll take
a little bit of credit for that. But yeah, you're right. But you know, the thing is, you know, it's like, as any parent knows, what we try to do is you try to lay the groundwork. You try to give your kids the skills. Whatever your moral compass is, and all these kinds of things, to go out and succeed.
Yeah, a big part of it is work ethic.
Work ethic, yeah.
Willing to do what it takes to achieve that top goal.
Any parent who doesn't want their kid to do better than they did is not a parent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want them to go out there and succeed and be successful in what they do. And you try to lay that out there. And so when you're saying. Parents who aren't involved, and you know the parents, you know the bright kids, and you know, and you've seen the parents, and it's the thing. I don't know how many open houses I've gone to over the years, how many parent-teacher nights, whatever. I see the same parents for the same kids there all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't see the parents of certain kids there all the time.
And generally speaking, those are the kids who are troublemakers or having...
They're just not doing as well.
They're not doing well. They're trailing. They're not... somebody...
You know, another, you mentioned this before too. There's another kid that I see all the time because my kid's growing up around him and stuff. I've never met his parents, but his grandpa's here every time.
Right. It doesn't always need to be a parent.
It needs to be some adult.
Sometimes, like in this one instance, there's a kid that is one of those top five, six kids, and I've never met his parents. But I know his sister.
Yeah.
His sister who is, like, this kid. When I first met him, was like 6 or 7 years old, and his sister was 28. She's the person. She's the person to make sure it happens. And I still see her now 5, 6 years later, and she's still the person.
Yeah.
She's the person that's making sure it happens. So it doesn't always need to be a parent. Hopefully it is. you know, a perfect world and all that, because that's, you know, you brought the kid in, so that's your kind of
exactly
hopefully your responsibility. But you know, sometimes you got both got to work, and sometimes that's just the harsh economic reality of it all. You got to work, you got to, and you can't be there because you got the crazy hours. But somebody in the family's got to make that difference, and then that is 9 times out of 10 what I've seen is is the difference between being an average student or a failing student and being a top student. Nice. Is that extra making sure that the work got done
right, and that's half the battle.
It's a huge thing,
We're going to take another quick break and try to grab one of the guests from one of the musicians that are here tonight. You're listening to Swoop Swirl Special Events live from First Fridays Long Beach here at the Mirage Mediterranean Grill. And if you're in the area, come on and stop on down. We're here with Michelle Mangione and friends, and this is What is a Saint?
Are you ready? To be someone, to a stranger, of less fortune, would you offer up your smile just for the love of it? What is a saint to you? Are you willing to be nameless without shelter? Tell me, what is a saint to you?
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29, and thanks to my college degree, I'm a systems analyst. And the college me would tell you,
I wouldn't be here without big brothers, big sisters. My big brother believed in me, and to a 7-year-old,
that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
In 1977, in Johannesburg, South Africa, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. By the age of 9, he was already outplaying him. The odds of that same boy then making it to the U.S. and European pro golf tours? 1 in 7 million. The odds of the Big Easy winning the Open Championship once and the U.S. Open Championship twice? 1 in 780 million. The odds of this professional golfer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Barry Rolera. You're listening to Swoop World.
And welcome back to Swoop World Live. The first Friday is at the Mirage from the Mediterranean Grill. That was Barry Rolera, a good friend of ours. He's been on the show about 4 or 5 months now, huh?
Yep.
Well, we're happy to say right next to us here is Sammy Tonic.
Yay.
From the Bus Stop Hurricane.
Here he is, right here.
How you doing, man? Nice to meet you.
I'm doing well. How you doing, Scoop?
Great. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about yourself, man.
Well, I'm old enough to know better, and I was in a band called the Bus Stop Hurricanes, and we tore up Orange County and L.A. a lot. And we kind of went on a hiatus because people did different things and moved into different directions, and I have been hiding, working in the studio for 3 years, and this is the first live show tonight that I have played personally in 3 years, about 2 months, 2 years, 8 months. That's close enough, right? That's 3 years?
Yeah, 2 months. That's close enough.
Close enough, so. And I'm kind of nervous. I'm a little excited. I'm doing an interview with you, and this is going to be fun.
It's all good, man. It's all family here.
It's a lot of fun.
Now, tell us, are you a local Southern California guy?
Yeah, I was born in Downey, actually. Yeah. And I grew up in Fullerton and lived in Los Feliz, Silver Lake area for a lot of my life. And right now, I am in Huntington Beach.
We've all traveled those same paths.
All those places.
Yeah, I've been in a 25-mile circle. The 30-mile circle. I just never leave. Yeah, I did spend some time in San Francisco, and I spent some time in Arizona.
Yeah,
and that was kind of cool. That was really cool.
What part of Arizona?
Flagstaff, Northern Arizona. Yeah. That was kind of interesting.
So, what's your forte? Singer, songwriter, or what do you do?
Oh, I'm just some jerk with a guitar. I like to work on cars and then write songs about working on cars. Yeah. But it all comes out about girls instead of cars. So
it's all metaphors, man.
It's all metaphors. Yeah, when the wrench doesn't fit, that kind of thing. These nuts are stripped, you know, that kind of stuff. It's all the same stuff. So. Having a good time with that.
Oh, very, very cool, very cool. So when you took the time off, what'd you do?
I've been in the studio right now. I've been working with Craig Knapp, who's been working with Helen Hunt, who's been working on an amazing, I will say, Hush Hush project. It's an animation project. Yeah. I can't say who it's for because I don't want to get in trouble with, or get Craig Knapp in trouble. Yeah. But he's been a great engineer, and what we've done on these recordings for 15 years, we get all these ADATs, mm-hmm. and we're taking these ADATs, we're transferring to the new technology, which we call a computer. Mm-hmm. It's a thing called a hard drive, and you take these old tapes. They look like Betamaxes, and you put them on a hard drive. It's amazing the technology they have now. I've been out of this so long. Yeah. I didn't know they had better technology than that. So.
Were you in prison?
well, it's funny you should ask. I've got an Etch-a-Sketch hooked up to a rotary phone, and that's the kind of technology I'm working with right now. And I see you've got a lot of like these things called, I think they call them lap yeah. aprons or laptops, and they've got buttons and keys on them. Now, man, I've got an Etch-a-Sketch with a rotary phone, and my sand gets low, and my Etch-a-Sketch, exactly. and I gotta pour some more in there. That's what I've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years. But yeah, so it's just like a prison in a way. So working with great engineers, and I've got Tim Magg, who's working with me too right now, who is an amazing guy, who if you Google Tim Magg, M-A-A-G, you will find out how many bands this guy has played and started in Orange County. It's just his repertoire, his resume, his recipe for success. Yeah. Anyway, I'm working with great people who said, look, you've got 15 years of recordings, why don't we take this stuff and put it out. I said, yeah, well, let's do that. That's a good idea. This is, what is this thing called? It ain't that. Let's put this tape on.
I'm game.
we got 2-inch, you know, 2-inch reel-to-reel stuff on Studor 24-track, real stuff from the old day, from the first album that we released in 97, which is still going strong. People still buy it. I think it's kind of weird, but people still like it, so there's fans out there. Yeah. Yeah, if I can move from an Etch-a-Sketch to like a Apple II, one of those Apple IIs with a Commodore 64, man, I'm all about it.
You're large.
Yeah, if I can get a Commodore 64 out of this whole gig,
that'd be cool.
I'm going to be really happy, yeah. Because then I can make some music.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. People talk about, we do all analog. There's something different than what I'm using.
Let me tell you that. Vinyl's the only way to go. So you're still in good shape.
That's good. What's vinyl? I'm using those cylindrical
things. You need to go back to these. I used to have a little TAC, man. You know, real TAC.
Oh, those are cool, yeah, man. That's people are into that stuff again.
Yeah, I know. I wish I still had mine.
I probably have one, actually. I probably have one that'll work out for you.
Are we ready for him?
Well, you know what? I know that you're ready to take the stage.
And I'm ready to take the stage.
We calmed your nerves a little bit.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We distracted you long enough.
Thank you. Exactly. Thank you.
That's our job.
Sammy, thank you for showing
up. It's a pleasure, Swoop. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Good thank you so much, man, for having me.
We'll be listening for you. We'll hear you right through the wall.
This wall's not actually a wall. There's just a curtain.
It's not. It's just a curtain.
It's really honest.
There's a panel behind you on stage.
I've been to a place where girls dance without tops on, kind of like the same thing.
Yeah, I've heard of those places. Yeah. Never been to one myself, actually.
Well, unfortunately, we're not at one of those.
You have to have an Etch-a-Sketch.
I'm out of here late.
Absolutely. Sammy Tomic from Bus Stop Hurricanes, man. Good man, good song. What a great sense of humor.
That's right, man.
You know, we've been lucky enough to interview a lot of people, and we've come across some good vibes, man.
That's right.
I've been really really impressed.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Oh man, so you know you're listening to Swoops World and the Talk Story Radio Network. We're here live at First Fridays Long Beach. And that was Sammy Tonic. Bus Stop Hurricanes. If you go to our website and look at the post there, you can see the link to Bus Stop Hurricanes. Check them out. A lot of talent has come out of Orange County as far as the music industry goes, man. We, you know, going to different shows and stuff like that. I keep meeting people who say, you know, we're an Orange County based band.
Yeah.
You know, I guess one everybody thinks of is No Doubt because they're out of Cypress.
Well, for me, I think of The Offspring.
The Offspring, it was, yeah.
Because I was one or two people removed from actually knowing those.
I see.
So, yeah. I wasn't even 6 degrees.
There you go, man. You're Kevin Bacon there.
Less than. And who's someone else? Butthole Surfers.
I remember that. I could be wrong, but I kind of got a vibe that Real Big Fish was.
Could be.
From,
could be. I think you're right. So. Yeah.
You know.
It's amazing because it's such a bland place. It's amazing that some really interesting people
come out of Orange County. But you know, the thing is it's like it's not this, the grunge scene that came out of Seattle and stuff like that. But if you look at the history, a lot of those people that came out of the grunge, like Dave Grohl, Nirvana, you know, Foo Fighters and stuff. I read somewhere, I think he's actually a San Diego boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, or he spent a lot of time in San Diego before he went to Seattle. So it was like, it's like the place where the scene, you know, happened, but a lot of those people came from other places, you know.
Oh, yeah.
To make it.
You know, along those lines is Van Halen is often...
Pasadena, man.
The original Van Halen is there an L.A. band. but not all those guys are from LA.
Van Halen is. They're
Van Halen are.
Yeah,
we love. But Van Halen's only two guys, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
The other two guys aren't.
Look, we have another guest, man. This is great because we've been trying to get Angie on for a long time. Angie plays keyboards with Michelle, and she's a musician and does things on her own right. How you doing, Angie?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh boy, I'm a native of Southern California, born in beautiful downtown Burbank many years ago. I've been playing music since I was about 15. And I've been songwriting, tried to make it in the 80s, had a little trouble there, went into cover music and entertaining in the 90s, started playing with Michelle around 1999, I'd say.
Oh, wow.
And I've known her longer than that, and just been doing it ever since, one way or another, with different groups, and I can't even tell you how many bands I've been in, but... It's kind of sad.
Well, I know for a fact you do a fine AC/DC.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, years of practice, right? Lots of late nights with bars. Lots of whiskey helps the voice go that way.
So, besides playing Michelle, what else are you doing, you know, these days?
Well, do I reveal my true self? I'm a librarian, actually. So I spend most of my time doing that kind of intellectual thing at UCLA.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And just for the record, you don't look like a librarian.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Well, just for the record.
Because I'm sure there's a bunch of our listeners going, wow. Yeah. She's in some sort of... No.
Sometimes.
No.
Also
no,
she's
no.
Really, really smart. I think you have to be like, you have to have a master's or a PhD to be a librarian.
No. I didn't want to say you're smart. I'm just saying you don't look.
I know what you're saying.
You don't
look.
Because
these are two independent thoughts.
Yeah.
Two independent thoughts.
Well, thank you very much. No, you have to make a living when it comes down to it. And I went back to school a little bit later and got my master's. And I've been at UCLA since I was a young kid, so we won't even go there. I'm not revealing. So I gave you a clue already.
They were still in Westwood then.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even going there because I already told you about the 80s. I mean, I was only 7.
You're 4 years younger than me then.
There you go.
Oh, very cool. So, you know, when you I know you perform a lot and stuff. Do you do a lot of your own writing?
I
know you said in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I don't write as much now simply because I'm too busy learning Michelle's songs. They're a lot more complicated than anything I've ever written.
Especially when Grace gets involved, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the lyrics are something of their own you have to wrap your head around. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I did a lot of what I would call... post-techno dance music, and I wrote and then I went all the way to the other side. I wrote some country songs. I've been around the block. I unfortunately it just never panned out, so I'm happy doing what I'm doing now.
Well, and let me tell you, I'm happy watching you do what you do. I've seen you play. I've lost count how many times, and then I was there with all day doing their video shoot and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm always impressed. Always enjoy your singing and your playing. And
you should hear me give a lecture sometime. I actually travel a lot doing that kind of stuff. So
really,
it's kind of funny. Yeah, I think I'm so probably...
You might have to have a whole nother radio show.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get... I put the word out that we wanted her on as a guest for an entire show.
Well, I could tell you what I do for a living, and then all your listeners will fall immediately asleep.
I doubt that.
Electronic resources.
I can't put them to sleep.
No one can put them to sleep.
We have those dedicated types of listeners. You don't need to worry about that.
Okay, I could tell you all about electronic resource management and that
See,
kind of thing.
He perked up right there.
That's my thing. That sounds like right up my alley. I find that stuff
He's not just blowing smoke either. That's
no.
I actually do too.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Now, do you have a website, a Facebook? Did you accept strangers?
Oh yeah, Facebook. But I mean, write a note and say who you are, because you get some weird people fishing around on Facebook.
Yeah. Anything you want to put out there, Facebook or a website?
Well, we have a little website for our other band that Michelle plays drums with,
Superlark.com.
It needs a little help, so if there's anybody out there that wants to do some free web work, just let us know. Well, you can check up there. You can see where we're playing.
You just play. I know you play monthly in Fullerton, right?
We play at the Fullerton Market.
And you're going to be playing at the Sawdust.
We're going to be playing several times this summer at the Sawdust Festival. We play Block Party in Orange, a secret block party. Like if you cruise down the streets on the 4th of July, you might just find it. It's pretty fun. Yeah, we play a lot during the summer in different places, parties, wherever. The opening of a door, as I'm fond of saying, we'll play there too.
Well, we'll have to throw a party, dude. So what lies in the near future for you besides Superlark and Michelle? You do anything on your own?
No, I mean, I play in my living room, and my dog doesn't even like to listen to me. But I practice, and, you know, I write speeches. I do my work. I'm on the computer all the time, and thinking about broken links and things like that. I'm totally serious. You think I'm joking.
It's all good. Yeah. See, that's kind of stuff I do all day.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
You have the side of you that Peter's really interested in, and you have the side of you that I'm really interested in.
Oh, cool.
But you've covered Swoop's bases.
Do you guys like copyright issues? Because that's my other specialty.
We get a little confused there.
Yeah.
Not that we're not interested.
Although we have a few things copyrighted.
Yes,
right.
But we do get confused there.
Okay, I can answer your question. That's I do a lot of that at work. So,
absolutely, well, excellent,
cool.
Excellent. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Well, thank you. I did.
I forgot your last name.
Riggio.
That's right, Riggio. How do you spell that?
R I G G I O.
See, there you go. Google Andrew
Stephen Riggio. I think is the CEO of Barnes and Noble, but unfortunately,
but
not my brother.
There's a small town in Italy called Riggio.
There's with an E.
Just outside of Ravenna.
With an E.
Ancestors.com.
My name, I think, means I'm from there.
Yeah. Okay.
Although I'm not.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, my family's from Sicily, dare I say. So.
Oh, then you guys are getting in trouble.
Yeah. Right.
So apparently you've crossed some lines. Not you.
Someone crossed.
But someone
crossed
some
little
lines there. Yeah.
They did a little hanky panky.
Yeah.
North of the border there.
North,
then they went back.
Then you got thrown out to the south there. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Well, we can attest to the fact that if anybody has an opportunity to ever see you perform, they're in for wonderful, wonderful experience.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you all come see us and come up and say hello. But tell me where you heard about it. Like I said, sometimes
there's a lot of strange people out
there.
Yeah,
we get some doozies.
So you're the nervous type. You hang out with Swoop and I, you get along. Just we all three of us be able to be all on the same page then.
Yeah.
When people come up, because we do a radio show,
yeah,
like three
right.
days a week, sometimes like what, 10 in a month.
Yeah.
When somebody comes up and says, "I know who you are," both of us get going, "Whoa, what are you talking about? Whoa,
it wasn't me.
It was. Yeah, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. So you apparently just fit right in.
I could tell you stories, but we'll save that for
our
another
first
time.
Response every time somebody goes, "I know who you are," so I've had a vasectomy.
That's good.
See, I'm like, I wasn't there.
I wasn't there.
Obviously confused me with someone else.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I was in an all-girl band in the early 90s, and need I say more?
Go-Go's? We were part of the Go-Go's?
We were called Misdemeanor. it was a pretty popular band.
Yes.
We had a model playing the bass. It was quite an experience, and we met some interesting people that would follow us literally from state to state, and it got a little hairy there.
Wow. You know, that you mentioned that, I worked a lot of security for different organizations, groups, and whatnot, and there were a few people that I worked for that these people would show up at their shows. If they played Five Nights at Palladium, they were there every night. And then if you talk to the crew that were, you know, actually traveled with the band, they'd say, "Oh, yeah, they were in Seattle. They were here. They were there."
Oh, it's like Gary.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what do these people do? Yeah. How do they even buy gas? How do they buy concert
tickets?
That's
my thing. When they get their money from. Yeah. But I want to figure that out. That gig, because that's gonna be a good gig. I mean, you know, you get to travel from here to here to there and just listen to bands. I know you get paid. Somebody must be getting paid for it, because I'm just wondering.
Maybe I aspire to win the lottery so I can become a full-time stalker. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that would be it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Got to try to figure that out.
What's that one book I loaned you? That's just like that.
The Collector?
The Collector.
Oh, God.
From,
that was so...
Right?
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't know. Dude,
French Lieutenant's Woman, The Magus, John Fox. John Fox.
Yeah.
I'm like... You know, yeah, it's all creepy, but it's a good deal. It's a good gig, right?
It's a good gig.
You got the money.
Yeah, you do.
Everybody's got to have a hobby.
What's your hobby? Yeah. Stalking.
As long as you're a quiet stalker, not the one that does the weird thing eventually.
But it would be nice to be able to do that if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Right?
It's one thing when they show up every show. It's another thing when they knock on your hotel door.
Yeah, that's right.
You've crossed the line.
No, it would be so cool to... You know, follow a band on their tour. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
So, well, now we know if Michelle gets a tour, I would see you guys following behind us in the car.
I've already signed up. I told Gloria, you guys go on tour. I'm there.
Well, she'll call in.
Cool.
He doesn't even want to be paid. He'll just log heavy stuff around.
That's like Karen DeWitt. You got to feed me, and that's expensive.
Yeah, I was going to say. His payment is... You know, negotiable.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm sure Michelle will be up for that.
Well, thanks a lot, Andy.
Thanks for
stopping
over.
And we really want to get you on the regular show.
Okay.
Well,
I'll have to prepare something. Okay. All right.
She can get home to a whole bunch of research.
There you go.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. And then she's probably going to put out notice on us, and somebody's going to show up at our door, and we're going to get arrested. Did you show...
You're not allowed within 100 feet of her.
Yeah, that's right. We've already crossed the line.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Angie Riggio. She's a member of Michelle's band and Superlark, and among other things.
Apparently, she's got a lot of secrets.
She's got a lot of secrets.
And she wants to make sure she keeps
hold
of
those.
We want
to delve into those secrets. We need to get her into the studio. Well, you know, we've had a blast here tonight. We've been here at First Fridays in Long Beach, right here in Long Beach, California. Sammy Tonic's on stage now. Michelle Mangione will be taking the stage here probably about another half hour or so. Plenty of time to make it down here. Plenty of things going on up and down the avenue. You'll see plenty of events, musicians, artwork, and after hours. So if you get a chance, come on down. Swoops World will be back Wednesday night at our normal hours here from 8 to 11 on the Talksway Radio Network. We really appreciate you tuning in and supporting us, and keep up the good work, man, because we try to make you happy. Good night, all.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.